Going to our next exciting session, I would like to invite Jacek Laskowski, business owner and software engineer and a consultant. Hi, Jacek. You're on mute.
Oh, hey, Eddie, how you doing?
I'm good. It's probably going to be your last year on mute for 2020, right?
Yep, I think so.
Cool. Fun fact about Jacek, he is doing Taekwondo, middle split, and front split.
Yeah, that's correct. That's me. That's me exactly.
Amazing. All right. And together with Jacek, I would like to invite Jasmine Greenaway, Senior Cloud Advocate here at Microsoft.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Howdy.
And Jasmine is doing roller skating. Jasmine, how does it work with coding and roller skating and data?
They're two separate things, honestly, for me. It gets me away from the computer screen. And unfortunately, it's a little bit too cold to skate now. So I'm kind of looking for my next hobby.
Maybe Taekwondo or middle split?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Well, I really need to end this.
What about ice skating?
It's a perfect ice skating time, right? Possibly. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And Jacek and Jasmine are going to talk us through how to use SQL with Data Lake. And I mean, there's so many things you can do with SQL, and Data Lake is an open source, an interesting one. But Jacek and Jasmine, the stage is yours. Please educate us about this great topic.
Thank you so much, Addie, for introducing us. As she said, I'm Jasmine Greenaway. I'm at Microsoft, and I am so honored to be speaking with Jacek Laskowski, who is an IT freelancer specializing in Apache Spark, Apache Kafka, and Kafka Streams. He also offers software development and consultancy services with a very hands-on, in-depth workshops and mentoring. And he's best known by his internal of series of online books. So definitely check him out and check him out on Twitter and see what he's up to. So Jacek, let's get started. So we know that the session is, you know, around SQL and Delta Lake. But for those of us who are not familiar with Delta Lake, let's kind of start there. How did you discover Delta Lake?
I've been with Apache Spark for 5+ years, and you know, it's like the same people who created part of Apache Spark also created or co-created Delta Lake as an open source project. So it was kind of like natural path in my career to discover new opportunities, how to design new software using Apache Spark, and it just happened that they created an open source Delta Lake, so it was kind of natural.
Awesome. So do you feel that somebody kind of with your experience and kind of the domain that you work in would kind of find their way to Delta Lake at this point?
Yeah, I think so. As a matter of fact, the recent release of Apache Spark, Apache Spark 3.0, unlocked some of the key features that were not available before. As our title says, it's all about SQL because, well, it looks like SQL is fairly easy to grasp and you know, work with data. So if you've got a pretty nice, simple language to learn to work with your, you know, vast amount of data, well, why not to leverage it for well, big data, okay, or big data workloads? So it just happened that at the time, Delta Lake was, open source and with together with Apache Spark 3.0, you know, it showed people that working with big data is possible as well as time travel through, you know, this different releases of your data. So all in all, yeah, it made my journey into Delta Lake and Apache Spark 3.0 kind of fun and entertaining. And I think that others in my position or with my experience might find it quite fun and useful too.
I see. So based on what you described, we have kind of have some context clues into what Delta Lake actually is. Can you define it for our audience, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was lucky enough. Just today, I watched two very detailed talks by Burak from Databricks. He's one of the main developers behind Delta Lake. And he described Delta Lake by this very fine-grained one-sentence description. And he said that Delta Lake is essentially transaction lock over object storage or object store. Think of it like a layer atop your file system that gives you access to past versions of your data.
Ooh, I love that. So it sounds like, you know, we have this file system, we have the structured file system, essentially a data lake. So yeah. How does Data Lake and Data Lakes and Delta Lake work together? What is the purpose of them kind of being together?
Okay, to be honest, you know, I'm pretty new to this kind of like a buzzword, you know, data lake, and I always confuse it with Delta Lake. I'm very, how to say, passionate about all the names that are flowing over my head and trying to, you know, grasp the concept behind them. So today it's time for, just like Tim mentioned, microservices. Now we've got data lakes. For me, data lake, sorry, I need to be extra careful not to say Delta Lake. So data lake or data lakes are just a way to store a large amount of data without much thinking about what this amount of data could bring in the end. We might not even be aware of some things that are lurking in this data, hiding behind all this, you know, metadata about all these columns, rows, and however you shape this or describe this data. So all in all, it's just to dump this data in a semi-structured way, have it available when proper time arrives. So this is data lake. Okay, so you dump as much data as possible. Now you've got this Delta Lake product or open source project that gives you this extra capabilities that says, hey, I'm gonna guard this data lake by some features that you may eventually need while working with vast amount of data, like schema checking, schema enforcement, schema validation, whether, you know, columns can be changed from this type to another, and all this stuff that eventually say something about your data. So that's data and Delta Lake for me.
I see. Okay. So it sounds like with a data lake and in conjunction with Delta Lake, you can kind of manage these streaming sets of data, or for those of you listening, real-time data and batch data that's already there, and be able to provide some sort of consistency and reliability when you're grabbing this data. Would that sound about right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact, this consistency is part of one of the features of Delta Lake called ACID transactions. So Delta Lake provides ACID transactions. They are optimistic transactions. After watching a great talk by Burak at this year's Spark Summit Europe, I highly recommend watching his video, because, you know, he nailed it perfectly. So he said something like, we've got all the ACID letters built into Delta Lake, providing you ACID transactions over this vast amount of data on top of object stores, which are eventually consistent. They are not immediately consistent. So there is some time gap where you could have information that a given file does or does not exist. So that gives extra, how to say, extra uncertainty that Delta Lake gets rid of pretty easily.
Oh, and this whole idea of ACID transactions seems like just like something very desirable in any type of system where we're managing either large sets of data, large file system, specifically data lakes, what we're talking about here. For those of you in the audience who have never heard of this term ACID, can you define these four letters in this acronym for us?
Oh, that, yeah, sure. I'm lucky enough to work with another guy from Databricks, Danny. Danny taught me so much about ACID transactions. He's preparing a MOOC about this. So definitely something worth checking out soon. So ACID, atomicity, consistency, isolation, and durability. So atomicity, in essence, it's like either your changes are all visible for other readers and writers, or none at all, none at all, meaning no partial updates, changes are available. And this is especially important when you start thinking about eventually consistent object store or stores like S3, Azure ACDL, or any other Hadoop-like file systems, they can store huge amount of data. And now we start asking ourselves, can we do this in a more transactional way? And yes, we can do this, but we need an extra layer. And this extra layer, this transactional layer, is Delta Lake, exactly.
Ah, awesome. Oh, thank you for putting those puzzle pieces together. I love that. Okay, so I feel like we've talked a lot about like the foundations of Delta Lake. So let's go a little bit in deeper detail with Delta Lake's update over the summer. It got a huge update up this past summer. So can you kind of walk us through what happened there?
Oh, yeah. We've got full or almost full, fuller SQL support. Definitely, this is something worth checking out. We've got a feature called upsert, meaning you can merge your new data with existing data and do operations like if a given row or if data or partial data is already available in your source table, well, you can just update it with new data. If it's not available, you can just insert new data right away. So you've got this upsert out of the box. And thinking about this, it's for many people working with relational databases, it's just something that's available out of the box. But to me, when I'm thinking about big data and doing things Spark way, it was not that obvious that you can read a given directory and have multiple readers and writers all together consuming or producing data to the same, data lake, which is Delta table. So now, since we've got this extra layer, transactional layer atop an object store, we can do all this crazy stuff like writing from multiple threads, not only multiple threads, but also from multiple distributed systems all at once, read it in a consistent manner, having time travel, meaning you can just move back and forth between versions, and have it all under this ACID transactions. Well, that's kind of cool. So and we are still speaking about big data, and so we can imagine we've already had problems dealing with big data. Now we have versioned big data, meaning we've doubled or tripled the amount of data we are dealing with. And all this is possible because of Spark plus Delta Lake combination. And it's free of charge. It's open source, man.
Yeah, awesome. I really love that idea of time travel. You know, as somebody who actually, for me, you know, this is, you know, my first time really like talking about Delta Lake and data lakes in general. But as, you know, somebody personally as, you know, as with development experience, I know that when I saw things like time traveling and debugging, that was like so like beneficial for me to be able to see the whole story of how, you know, my application works. So I can only see how much that, how beneficial this must be for like a day, like when you're working with so much data, like to be able to like have that that historical, you know, idea and transaction. So that's awesome. So can you kind of describe a little bit of what it was like before this type of SQL support? Like, what was it like before this huge update?
Okay, so well, I feel I'm still more Scala developer rather than SQL developer. I'm more a software engineer rather than data engineer or data scientist. Okay, so I feel I could code any problem I'm faced with. So in essence, I didn't care much about SQL. It was like, well, if I need something on my computer, I can write it in Scala, Java, Python, or any other programming language. Then I realized that there are people out there, and probably there are more people more familiar with SQL than any other programming language. And that's one of the reasons why Python is so popular these days, again, I'd say. So all in all, thinking in terms of programming languages, well, everything is fine and cool if you can develop your brand new shiny standalone application. But eventually, it's not about how many new applications you can develop, but how many insights or how much helpful you can be to your customers. And if you can cut time needed to deliver something usable for someone who is going to pay you for your time spent on this or that, well, that's the opportunity I wanted to uncover. So, and then I just realized for many years, for me, SQL was a dead language. Sorry to be so direct, but I thought that SQL should already be dead because, well, it's just easy, does not give you that power of, you know, any other programming languages. At the time I was C programmer, then I switched to a bit of C++, then Java and Scala eventually, with some other languages in between. But the point is, I was still locked into this programming mindset. Then I realized that with SQL, you can just do pretty powerful things without much coding. That definitely requires you to change your mindset to think like, you know, in this relational algebra where you've got tables, where you've got rows, columns. No, and it was not about compiling yet another code. It was about, you know, writing just one liner or two line statement command that just processed your data. So before Spark 3.0 and Delta Lake 0.7, we've got this shiny world of programming languages that you could use, like Scala and Python and Java, to develop Delta Lake applications. With Spark 3.0, with all the underlying rewrite of this, you know, underlying SQL processing engine, Spark allowed solutions like Delta Lake to reap benefits of having this new SQL engine and pretend that Delta Lake are native tables for Spark SQL. And with that, now extending Spark SQL is fairly easy. So Delta Lake developers just use this way of plugging in extra features to Spark. So you can just extend Spark with features like time travel and data versioning. So yeah, just before these versions, we could do pretty much similar things, but you had to code rather than declare your thinking in SQL terms.
I see. Okay. Oh, wow. So it sounds like we are at time, but you did mention Scala, and I wanted to just mention that Delta Lake is supported by Scala, and what other languages?
There is direct support for all the languages that are supported by Spark SQL or Apache Spark in general. Why is that? It's because Delta Lake is now truly an extension of Apache Spark. So if Spark supports this or that language, Delta Lake, so is Delta Lake, which are Scala, Java, Python, and SQL. I'm not sure about R. I'm not very familiar with R, and I haven't spent much time on it. But I would not be surprised if R was supported too.
Gotcha. All right. Well, also, one other thing I want to mention is that the Delta Lake project is open source, so you can definitely check it out. Thank you so much, Jacek. I hope everyone learned a lot more about Delta Lake. I know I sure did. Thank you so much again, everybody, for listening in. And back to you, Addy.
Thanks, Jasmine. Thank you, Jacek. Yes, absolutely. Delta Lake is one of these projects that brings together so much goodness to every Spark developer, and not only Spark developer, everyone who works with Data Lake needs to think about how they can integrate and when they need this time travel and all these great features. So again, thank you so much, Jacek and Jasmine. I did notice there was a few comments on the chat, so if you have the time to drop to the chat and help people with Delta Lake. All right, cool. Thank you.